make copies of that if you...
I would like a copy. Anybody else want a copy of it?
Yeah, he gave me a copy.
Okay.
But, pow.
That was pow. And I could hear the glory in your voice, Brother David. I've been trying to get your voice up. I heard glory there.
I heard so many confirmations this morning. Starting with Candace when she talked about surrender. Mm-hmm. And that's the first phase of our authority. Because James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
Well, if you can't surrender, you can't win. Remember, you can't win against Satan if you think like it. You have to receive the mind of God. I did a broadcast this week. The Lord was talking about how we receive revelation all the time, but that's not enough. You have to also expel the darkness. As we receive revelation, expel the darkness. Get rid of the things that's holding you back.
Amen.
Paul said it this way. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Uh-huh. So some of the things that beset us is not sin. It's just old thoughts, old ways. A lot of people do that. They use, like, the word repentance. That used to be a strong word, but people have watered down the meaning when they say, well, I'll just repent. And then I know I did wrong, I'll just repent. And they just keep on repenting in the mind of people now is just asking the Lord to forgive you for what you've done. But it's not rejecting darkness. What if we take the word repent? It's still valid, but we set it aside and use the word reject. When you reject darkness, when you reject hatred, when you reject unforgiveness, by faith, by revelation and faith, it's gone. And then now you can surrender to the Lord. One thing that helped me, the years that in 87, that's the year I got called to the ministry. And in the fall of 87 is when the fight began. And then it lasted till the spring of 88. Well, when the Lord taught me how to kill the temptation, I was able to live without interference. And the word of God that I was receiving, I could retain it. You can't retain the word of God with interference. Because it's kind of like when the Lord would give me a message. He'd give me a message, I could feel it in my heart. Just like I received the Holy Spirit, I could feel the message. And I couldn't wait to preach it. I was enthused. I had joy because of that message. And I didn't want to do nothing but preach that message. I had to carry it till it was time to preach it. Well, by the time it was time to preach it, I had to read it off the paper because it was gone. The fervency was gone. Now, this went on for years. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, the devil's been siphoning the word out of your heart. Well, I was living with interference. You know, what if you buy groceries and, you know, you buy everything you want and then you fill your cabinets and refrigerators, but you don't never throw out the trash? Now, something's going to happen. If you know, Wednesday comes around, you don't set the garbage out. You just leave it in the corner. Eventually, something's going to happen. You're going to start having rodents and, you know, bugs and ants and. So when you get rid of the wrong stuff, it's easier to keep the good stuff.
Amen.
But if you keep the wrong stuff, you know, it's going to corrupt the good stuff. Same thing. Well, authority is a teaching that came by revelation. This is not something you learn with your mind only. It has to be revelation to you. Mm-hmm. And even after you receive it, when it becomes revelation to you and you receive it, then you got to act on it. And let's look at what Kenneth Hagin said. I have to use glasses now to read. I can do it, but it's very difficult.
Yep.
Right, this is chapter 5, page 33, Exercising Authority. He said, the door to exercising authority pivots upon two phrases. Paul prayed for the Ephesians and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, hath raised us up together. Now, that's a fact. Now, that's something you have to receive as revelation, because that's not from around here. It's not. It's, you don't have a visual reference of people being seated with Christ. You don't have, because, you know, all through school, you never heard a teacher say, well, we're seated with Christ. You know, the probability is high that you never heard that in elementary, high school, or even college, and sometimes in church. But here it is. It was always there. Now, Kenneth Hagin, he received this revelation, and that's when his church began to springboard. We are seated with Christ. That's a fact. One day you're just going to have to get used to it. Not saying that you didn't, but you have to get used to the fact that you are the body of Christ on earth. What you say, go. And you can do all that. Whatever Jesus did, God can do it through you. But first you just have to receive the revelation and drive out everything that interferes with it, whether it's temptations, doubt, unbelief, fear, everything that... Now, when the Lord brings something to me that I need to deal with, I attack it. Mm-hmm. I fill my heart with the word on the subject, and I live from there. He taught me to do that. I'm not going to read much in this because I got something else he want me to explain. He said, meditate on these two phrases. Learn to pray them for yourself. Feed on their truth until they become a part of your inner consciousness. Then they will dominate your life. But don't try to accept them mentally. You've got to get the revelation of them in your spirit.
Amen.
And that's where we live from. Now, Jesus gave us authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
All of it. If it's of Satan, we have authority over it. And I thought about how sometimes, even I made it, the Lord, when we first came back, He had me to talk about the people that use authority. They have His love, they have obedience, and they have sincerity. And there are times when people have all three, and they still struggle with authority, because it's kind of like what happened with Mr. Austin. There was a storm coming over Washington, D.C. back in, this would have been around 88, 89, or even 90. The storm was coming, and Mr. Austin was sitting on his couch watching it on the news. And the Lord said, you have the faith to stop that storm. So he rebuked it, and the storm didn't hit. Then he told me about it. And when he told me about it, I stopped thinking it was stupid to try something like that. Now, before he told me that, I may not have even tried to rebuke a storm. But after he told me that, I started doing it. It had to be 88 because I was going to UAB. And I remember it was a bad thunderstorm. And the rain was so heavy, I couldn't see my white truck. It was about as far away as the Methodist parking lot from where I was standing. And I couldn't see the truck for the rain. Mm-hmm. There were no trees between me and the truck. I couldn't see the truck for the rain. Uh-huh. And I just tried it. I said, peace be still. And I meant it. I did it by faith. And break was over. It was time to go back in class. I turned around and then I looked back. I saw my truck. The rain was gone. The time I said, peace be still, it just stopped. And so I said, who would believe this beside Mr. Austin? Now, Mr. Austin, he was, I grew up with his sons. And he was a high school coach and then a principal. I respected him greatly, you know. And he was good at what he did, but he loved God. You know, he went to a faith church. He went to More Than Conquerors back then. And but he started getting in the Word and learning and growing. Well, if somebody will break the barrier, people will start acting on what they can actually do. This is something that we should have been doing centuries ago. Mm-hmm. Not to, you know, stopping storms, tornadoes, stopping satanic activity. Pulling down strongholds, whatever the enemy can get away with it, he sets up a nation to have a stronghold government they can be brought down. The Chinese church, they, you know, if somebody just use their authority, and it don't take but two or three. Don't think it takes, it don't take many people to do something. Now I'm going to say this since I said that, especially if the Lord bring it to you to deal with. If the Lord comes to you with something, then he can do it through you. Don't be offended that you may be the only one dealing with it. Don't think that you can't. The Lord has brought things to me, and I say something, and then I say, how could, you know, your mind will run with it. How does that mm-hmm. work? Mm-hmm. The gift of faith. If he bring it to you, you have the anointing. If he tell you to do anything, the anointing comes with it. And a fight comes with it. But you win the fight by surrendering, and with the anointing you break the yokes. Mm-hmm. And if you just have a little bit of faith, and it takes this much faith, mm-hmm. if you act on the little bit of faith you have, the Lord he'll give you the faith you need to get mm-hmm. the job done, to stay in faith till it's over with. That's the gift of faith. You know, when I was sliding down this freeway on that motorcycle, I couldn't say, Lord, help me not to get my bones broke, help me to live. I said, Jesus. Then I said it again, Jesus, and I knew I would live. Well, I asked Pastor, I said, is that the gift of faith? He said, that was the gift of faith, because you didn't do any work. And he explained it. Now, I didn't know how the gift of faith worked. I just knew to say, Jesus. Well, every time the Lord gave me a dream to intercede for people, I don't just pray. I pray till I get that. Like Kenneth Hagin said, pray till you get a note of faith. Well, I prayed I start laughing in the spirit. Then I know I got it. And then I go to sleep and sleep well. Well, when he brings something to you, you got mm-hmm. the authority. Now, having that authority, having the God kind of authority, Jesus authority, that's what we have. And it's mighty and it's powerful.
Amen.
But if to somebody that loves God, they want to do all this in his heart, they have love, they have sincerity, they're willing to be obedient, it's a challenge to their mind to do something like that. It's kind of like if somebody gave me a brand new airplane. Let's say Kenneth Copeland gave me one of his airplanes. All right, now I can, it's mine, I can go and fly it now. But I don't know how to fly airplanes. Who want to fly with me? Anybody want to fly with me? I wouldn't know what to do. It's mine. I can go fly it, but I don't know what to do with it. I'll need training. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Amen. If you have the authority, and he'll train you in it, and then you'll use it. If I had that plane sitting, you know, at the airport, and I said, well, I got it, so I may as well try to fly it. Well, even if I had the training, the first time I fly it, I'd be kind of nervous. Well, eventually, I get good at it, and then I say, hey, anybody want to go for a flight? Everybody be, yeah, okay. But the first year, you might not want to go. After two or three, after I get some hours behind me, and then, yeah, but that's how it is. That's how people feel about authority. It's not that they feel like, well, you know, Henry Gruber says, start small. Start taking authority over small things and graduate. That, I do that with anything. But if the Lord brings something to you, follow, see it through, no matter how you feel. Remember, throw out the old, throw out the trash. Everything that, lay aside every weight. You don't have to be trained to fly a plane if the pilot is in there with you. You don't have to be trained to use authority. You just have to use it. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. Most of the time, the success stories that I've taught about, a lot of times that was my first time. And I didn't know what to expect. But it worked. And then I went and asked the Lord to teach me about it. How did that happen? And the Lord, he'll help us to get used to the things of God. if you follow God, you're going to be pioneering some things. You may be, sometimes you can, you may be the first person since Adam to do something.
Amen.
You may be the first person on earth ever to do something. You know, that can happen. But God is with you. And I'll close with Ephesians. The Lord has everything that he's given us to, he's given us everything we need to win. And everything that he said to us, he meant it. Ephesians 1 and 21. He said, verse 20. This is a long, those long sentences. I'm going to have to back up. He says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, this is verse 17. Well, 16. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling,
amen,
and what the riches of his glory,
amen,
of his inheritance in the saints,
amen,
and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power,
amen,
which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heaven, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power,
amen,
and might and dominion,
amen,
and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So never think it's strange if the Lord brings something to you, a problem to solve, something to pray for, something to take authority over. When it comes to you, you have to understand at that moment, there may be nobody else on earth that will do it. So when it comes to you, make it happen. And don't quit. It doesn't matter how you feel, just make it happen. And pull the stronghold down. There's no weapon formed against you that is able to prosper. You just have
Amen.
To believe it.
Amen.
Now these believing and receiving and understanding and being trained, while we're in the middle of doing all that, the Lord is right there with us. Emmanuel.
Amen.
You know, toe to toe, we're outclassed. Satan saw God's face. He know how to undo everything. He know how to leaven us. You know, but if we watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod,
mm-hmm,
and I'm going to end with this. We can win. What Jesus said to the seven churches, I like when the Lord make things simple. Every problem you can ever have will stem from what he said, again, what he taught against when he spoke to when he addressed the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
So find it and kill it there. But receive whatever he say and walk in it. Because the lukewarm church gets spit out. I used to think that the lukewarm church was kind of lazier, but it's not. It's more than that. It's the leaven that they didn't deal with. People are lukewarm for different reasons. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's Cain jealousy. Sometimes it's, I guess it could be laziness. But most of the time it's something that they let slip in and didn't extinguish, didn't drive out. They didn't burn it up. We're required to do two things. And this was so from the beginning. Eat off the tree of life and reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's down to that. We have to reject some things and not let it swell in us. And we have to receive some things. In the broadcast, I said, if a person stingy, start giving to people, help people. When you know it, when they need something. If you're greedy, then share. if you have a problem forgiving, then walk in love. And if you're ever jealous about something against somebody, say 10 good things about them in your heart. You know, these are things the Lord taught me a long time ago. Everything that that he do. I said, I want to be like, I don't want to mess it up. I mess up stuff. I don't want to mess this up. The things of God, I want it to work. And he helped me to do it. And whatever the need is, he'll help you, you know. Well,
give your students 2 minutes.
Yeah.
2 minutes. Okay. Anybody?
Anybody?
Got anything they want to inject or say?
One good thing I heard that's right on point with you, Joyce Meyer said, deal with it at the onset. Don't wait for it to get a little worse or play with it a bit. You know,
become a stronghold.
Yeah. If a snake come in your house, no, I don't know any woman on the planet says, well, I'll deal with that tomorrow. You deal with it at the onset, right then, right there. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All that was good, brother.
That was excellent. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I missed both part of it.
Yeah. David, but it's going to be on the way up today.
Baby,
you got
to
ask.
We
need to bring it to close.
Okay.
You bring it to close.
My thoughts is, you know, Adam and Eve, they got lied to and cheated out of the glory, didn't they? You know, old lying lips, he just did a number on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God, through what Christ done, and him giving us the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and by our praying in those unknown tongues, mm-hmm. now, we can mm-hmm. put it right back in his place.
Amen.
Defeat him. Put him in his place, drive him out in our prayer life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Quote Joyce Meyer once more. She said, he said, well, how's that going to happen? God gave her something impossible to do. She said, look, that's God's business. I'm not your business. Why don't you go ask him what he's going to do? And she always ends by saying, it's working. It'll get done.
Amen.
So you got to deal with the lie at the onset.
In my walk and things that I've learned, if it's impossible, it's God.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anybody else?
And I just want to reiterate, I want, like you're saying, you know, sometimes you come back, I don't know how, mm-hmm. but the Holy Spirit, he always...
Always. See, Ross said he like it when you do that. When you say, I don't know what I'm doing, then he like it because he's going to show you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst.
Yes.
I thank you for every time you're with us,
Hallelujah.
How you bless us. Help us to be powerful in you. Help us to be appropriate in you in all that we do. Help us to do all that's in your heart until you come. And I know your return is abrupt and soon and imminent. And help us to be ready and appropriate for when you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't just want to be ready for the rapture.
Okay.
I want to be ready for whatever he say do.
Amen.